blessed are the poor in spirit. We need to say we have to admit that we are spiritually bankrupt. You know, we are in need of someone, so we can have something. And we say we are mourning about our situation daily. Mourning in the sense we feel sorry of ourselves, because since we recognize that we are spiritually bankrupt, we need God in our lives and we will be comforted. Not the comfort of... Okay, so we need somebody who will comfort us. When God comfort us, it's really a comfort thing. It's real. Okay, now we go to the second part of our messages. It says over here, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay, sometimes gentle and meek are being, you know, put side by side together. Another translation, it translates humility and mildness of disposition. Okay, sometimes it doesn't identify weakness, but mildness in this position. Meaning to say, a person who is meek is not the person who is easily rattled. Something like that. You know, because a lot of us, including me, sometimes I get rattled. You know, and my disposition is, you know, it's not right. It's not meek. It's not gentle. So under translation, it says humility and mildness of disposition. In fact, this meekness, this gentleness of disposition was also used in describing the horse of Alexander the Great. You know, Alexander the Great, right? He was one of the, you know, a good person of winning wars, capturing lands, and invading, you know, foreign lands and claiming it to be theirs. So one of his horses was described by this meek horse. But it's a humongous horse. And it's a powerful horse. At that time, Alexander the Great in his time, when you have a powerful horse, you know, when you have a humongous and powerful horse, you know, sometimes it connotates like, you know, conquering already, you know. So even though he has a horse that is huge and powerful, they call him meek, you know, because sometimes meekness is power with control. Okay, it's not a wimpy horse. If you're meek, you know, we not consider you a wimpy one. You know wimpy, right? Wimpy, it's like weak or something, like you cannot do anything. But when we say about the Bible, the meekness, the Bible said, it's a power under control with good disposition. Okay? Power under control, you know, and if you do that, you know, if you have a good and mild disposition, you will inherit earth. Okay, let's do some clearing over here. Sometimes the earth that was mentioned in this verse, sometimes it's mentioned about the land. The land, okay? It's best translated as land. Remember the story about the Israelites when God promised them that God will take them out of bondage in Egypt and told the Israelites, I will give you a land that is flowing with milk and honey. If you keep following my laws and my precepts, if you keep listening to me, I will give you the promised land. Right? I will give you the promised land, which is the land flowing with milk and honey. And he was talking to the Jews at that time. Jesus was talking to the Jews. If you are meek and gentle, If you have control in your power and your disposition, you know, you are humble, you have the humility, you will inherit the land, the promised land. Okay? And even said the land that God promised to the Israelites were a land which is very fruitful. God even told them, you will get houses that you don't even build. You will get vineyards that not even any one of you have planted. You will have that if you will remain meek, if you will remain gentle, if you will remain humble and follow my commandments, you will inherit the land. Okay? You will inherit the land. Okay? You will be prosperous. This is a fertile land. This is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And also, you know, you will be out of bondage. It's different when you have an earthly kingdom, an earthly land. You know, you will notice there's a contradiction here. You know, because sometimes when we get things, you know, just take it, just grab it. You know, we exercise power, we exercise strength, we became brutal, we try to submit people on our own way, and we gather things. As earthly kingdom does, right? When there's war, you know, they try to subdue the enemy. You know, the lesser power they have, they will subdue them and take their possession and take their land. One of the great examples of power under control is when Christ went to his crucifixion. You know this Christian Isaiah, when Christ was going to be crucified? Isaiah said he was like a lamb that even opened his mouth. Don't you think Christ can call someone up there and annihilate all those people in front of it? He can, right? He can. He can surely can, because he was God. He created everything. Just snap up his hands and everything will be destroyed. He has all the power, because when we study the Word of God, he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Just one stroke of his hand, one word, and he can create anything. Don't you think he can do that when he was about to be crucified? Just call the fire in heaven and, you know, consume all those people who were, you know, who were telling me, tearing me down, who were shaming me in front of these people. He could say that. And he can do that because he is an all-powerful God. But the thing is, he was meek. His power under control. He didn't exercise that. He didn't exercise his power. But he exercised his love for you and me. He exercised his love for the human race. That's why he is so meek. He didn't even complain. You know? He didn't even complain. Someone is spitting on him. Someone is mocking him. Someone is saying different things on him. Someone is saying that you are not God, you're a blasphemer. Someone is telling story, maybe, you know, things that we don't want to hear. He endured all those humiliation, my dear friends and brothers. Everything was against Jesus at that time. He was beaten up. Blood is splattering all his face. You know, pain is all over the face. Everything was there for his humiliation. Everything is there for his punishment. Everything was there for him to be shamed. And if me and you were there, I guess we will just call our army and knock these people out, because they're too much. But what he did is exercising his meekness and humbleness. He was exercising his humility. But instead, he showed his love for the human race. so that you and me will inherit the land. He was talking about not an earthly kingdom. Because if you were talking about earthly kingdom, you know, just like I told you earlier, country will invade countries and subdue this country and put them in slaves. You know, put them in cages, you know, and suffer the consequences of being beaten up. But God never did that too. Because he was not talking an earthly kingdom. He was talking about a kingdom that he rules. This is a heavenly kingdom. He was teaching us how to be a kingdom person. And one of the character of a kingdom person is humbleness and meekness. It doesn't say you are weak when we are humble. It was just saying, you know, our disposition, our power is in control. All right? Because sometimes when somebody hurt us, when somebody say bad things against us, we try to, oh, I will get back to him. I will do more harm for him. Because I can do it. I'm powerful. I know these things. That's what people nowadays get back. You know? If he smack you in the face, smack him double times, triple times. Shame him. That's not a kingdom character. That's not a kingdom attitude. That's not a kingdom attitude that we are telling you right now. Kingdom attitude is humbleness, meekness. So we will inherit the land. Another thing that we have to start to be reminded of is sometimes when we think of things like earthly things, we tend to just do it and grab it. You can do it. If you want to gain something, just do it. Work for it. Work hard for it. But this one, it says, and you will inherit the land. Why? Point the word inherit. Means to say it's given to you free. You don't work for it. Inherited things, you don't work for it. Your mom, your dad work for it. And technically, it's being transferred to you free. Because kingdom life is free. Kingdom life is free. You know? And you will inherit the land. Because the land, you know, is being given us by God free. Free. You just have to be meek and humble. Okay? And humble. That's what God is telling us today. That you will inherit the land because it's free and you have to have the kingdom lifestyle. Your power under control. And mild disposition. We have to be humble and meek. Okay, point number two. It says over here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When we want something or we desire something, a lot of times we do everything to get it, right? Have you experienced that? Sometimes you need something in the house, and you're desperately looking for it in order for that thing, you know, for you to have it. They experience that thing. Oh, I want this thing. And you cannot stop. You get crazy. You know, you get crazy. You turn things upside down because you crave, you desire for it. And I want it. It's like in a commercial, that's my money and I want it now. Right? We crave for it. It says hunger and thirst for righteousness. My wife and I, she was reading the Bible, and one time she read there's an event of the Bible that really happened in the New Old Testament. That what do you call this? The famine was so great, and people are hungry, but there's no food available. And what this friends, or maybe not friends, maybe they know each other. I don't know if they're friends, because it says in the Bible they were talking. And the other lady said, oh, we can eat my kid now, And tomorrow, we're going to eat your child. Have you read that in the Bible? What chapter is that, man? It's in Kings, right? The hunger, they agree that they will eat the baby now, and then the other baby will be eaten tomorrow. Yeah, read 2 Kings. Yeah, it's true. I'm not making it up. That's how hungry they are. You know? And they agreed. There's no food around. You know, there's no food. There's no plants. There's no water. There's nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. And they become so hungry that they plan to eat the kid today and the other kids tomorrow. Wow. When you get hungry, you really have to eat. You know? And when you're thirsty, you have to drink. Have you experienced being thirsty in your life? And you wanted nothing to stop you, just to get the water you want to drink and the food you wanted to eat. That's how hunger and thirsty the Word of God is telling us right now. You want it desperately. You know, these things are connected, actually. You know? It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the spiritual bankrupt. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The spiritual bankrupt, that they're craving for it. That's how God is telling us today, that we hunger, we thirst for righteousness. Mean to say we know ourselves that we are empty and we hunger for it. We hunger for it. We crave them. You know? Maybe in this part of the world we never experience hunger. Maybe, I don't know. But when I was growing up, hunger is everywhere. When you're hungry, I'm talking about physically hungry. It's not a nice feeling, right? I don't know. We're blessed because there's plenty of food to spare in this part of the world. We even throw things a lot, never thinking that we're going to go hungry. But on other parts of the world, hunger is all over the place. And when the people see food, you know, when you offer them, see their eyes brighten up. You see the smiles, you see the, you know, the excitement that they wanted to, you know, they can't wait. I have a brother named Ferdinand who can't wait. Whenever we invited to the, I still remember him. I'm taller than him before, but after a while he became taller than me. But when we were growing up, this guy, I don't know, sometimes he annoys me, because whenever we invited in a party or like gathering, he's always running for the table. And he said, "Kuya, I'm hungry. I'll go down." He always. And sometimes I don't want to look at him because I'm kind of embarrassed with the people looking at us. But that's how he is. You know, you never tell him anything. He will just go there and, you know, he'll be in the middle of the thing. That's how he is. You know, and my second brother was, you know, that's the younger one because we're three in the family. But the other one, the second one, is a little bit milder. He waits for people to tell him just like me, and then we go. But that guy, you know, that guy will just go. He said, "I'm hungry, so I help myself." I guess he is hungry. But when you're hungry, my friends and brothers, I don't know if you experience hunger, you want to feel yourself, right? And when you're thirsty, you haven't drank for a while, and you want to drink, a glass of water because you want to build up. And you're desperate wanting to have this. That's the hunger and thirst that God wants us. You know the thing, sometimes people realize that they are sick. That's when they go to the doctor and ask the doctor for help. Sometimes it happens that we realize that we need something, we desperately need something, and we want to have that thing. Unless a person realize that he is spiritually bankrupt. Unless a person, you know, realize that God is not with him. Unless a person realize that he needs salvation in his life, you know, he won't. He said, why do I need that? Why do I need God in my life? That's why these things are connected. Can you see the connection of the blessing, something like that? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. They realize that they are nothing without God. They realize that they are bound to hell. They realize nothing waiting for them. And that's when they realize they hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because they realize their righteousness is not enough. I will read to you a portion of Apostle Paul's writing. In Philippians chapter 3. It's a little bit tricky. Okay, chapter 3 of Philippians. I'm going to start with verse 1. I want you to follow me. Get your Bible up, Bible with you. It says over here. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy in Christ Jesus of Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from our God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who have begun a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in my chains or depending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more. Am I reading? Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm reading Philippians chapter 3. Oh, man. Okay, I'm sorry. Furthermore, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write same thing to you again. It is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is who we are in circumcision, who were served by God by Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. I thought I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the gods of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regards to the law, a Pharisee for a seal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Wow. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus in my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and on the basis of faith. Paul is saying here, on the time of me facing God, I pray that I might not be found the righteousness of the law, which I follow. I rather have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. I pray that God will not find me my righteousness, but God will find me having the righteousness of God. We have to thirst and hunger for the righteousness of God. We're not good enough. I'm not good enough. You know, nobody is good enough. It's only when we come to know the righteousness and thirsty. The righteousness of God. I have a quotation here that's sometimes confusing to me that I want to read to you. Okay. This is a missionary back in Russia that mentioned this quotation. He said, "He is no fool who's willing to give up what he cannot keep so that he might gain what he cannot lose." And let me repeat to you again. He is no fool who's willing to give up what he cannot keep so that he might gain what he cannot lose. You know, a lot of things we try to hold on in this life. But the thing is, we cannot keep those things. We try to hold on things that we value so much in this life. But to be honest with you, I never see a guy who died and has a U-hole behind his curse. What I meant by that is the things that we hold on dear life here on earth are the things we bound to lose. We cannot get those things. A good job. A big house. Precious jewelry. We try to hold on those things. How many times that we say, this is more important than the righteousness of God? How many times that we keep holding on to these things? But the thing is, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot keep them. We cannot carry them in our grave. We cannot hold on to them. We keep holding tight on those things. No. We cannot keep them. Those things we all lose in the end. That's why my challenge to you is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. Because God's righteousness will remain forever. I didn't say that. He said that. If we hold on to Jesus Christ in our lives, those are the things that we can keep. Because they last forever. That's why my challenge to you this morning. Let's not hold on to those things that we cannot keep. Hold on to the things that we can keep. And those things are the things we got. Alright? I know it's not easy. I know that. But God said He will be with us. Because He wants you and me to live in the kingdom life. That's why He's telling us this message this morning. Okay? So as we sing our invitation song, we call our leaders to sing our invitation song. Anybody who wants to seek and thirst and hunger for righteousness that comes from God, you know? We'll pray together. I know it's not easy. Pray for myself, because sometimes, you know, it's hard to keep these things in proper perspective. But God is always here to remind us. Okay? So let's sing our invitation.